You're listening to episode 39 of the Enlivened Podcast with Addie Petrie. Today we're talking about all kinds of catalysts for soul activation. Addie talks about Akashic records. She talks about the emotions that are stuck in the body. She talks about soul activation and the emotion code and energetic release and why we would write ourselves forgiveness letters. And also we talk about creative expression and how that's linked with abundance and our feeling that we can flow freely and safely in the world. And when we don't do that, how it can put a kink in the hose, right? So this episode is packed with yummy wisdom. Addie has some tactical, practical tips for you. So if you're looking for some soul activation and also just to listen to some fun conversations between two soul sisters, I think you're going to be in for a treat. Listen to this while you're driving or when you're doing chores in your house, and I promise you're going to smile, and it's going to bring, I think, a lot of sunshine in your day. So without further ado, enjoy. And please, if you do enjoy this episode, let me know. Let Addie know. It's always such an amazing feeling to connect with you and to welcome you into our online community. So let's get started with today's episode. Hey, my friend, how you doing? This is Sasha, and you're listening to Enlivened.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Enlivened Podcast. Today we have my sister, my friend, Addie Petrie. By the way, everybody, we share a birthday. So how cool is that? Addie, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
Yeah, thank you, Sasha, so much for having me. So I am a soul activation coach, and that's kind of my online business, if you will. I love coaching one-on-one and doing Akashic Records readings and just really helping people to step more fully into who they are, to uncover their spiritual gifts and to really do the deep forgiveness work that is necessary in uncovering more of who we are and embodying more of who we truly are. So that's been a big part of my work. And I also teach and perform aerial silks. So that's something I've been doing for, wow, I made 7 years as an aerialist in November. But I've been teaching for a little over 4, and it just like lights me up so much.
Yeah. So, you look amazing when you do it. I'm always like, wow. Just like, I don't know, because I've tried once and it hurts.
It's tough.
it's really so easy when you do it. Like, and you see those people and you're like, oh, cool. Ouch. It hurts. It's painful. So
everything hurts. Yeah. The first couple classes, everything hurts.
Everything hurts. But I feel like your expression in the arts really works really well with your connection with your work as an online business. So I just feel like that's quite connected. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. You know, aerial, just getting into aerial really taught me so much about myself. Like, I gained confidence. Like, when I'm up there, I just feel so badass and so sexy and so strong. Like, I'm stronger than I've ever been in my entire life. It really taught me how to trust myself. And I had this moment just a few years ago, I think it was after my first year of teaching, and I realized that I was giving that to my students. And so it was this really beautiful, like, wow, everything, all the beautiful things that Ariel has given me, like, I am now giving that. And it's really helped me to become a coach. Like, I am so grateful for the ability to perform. And like, I used to be really freaking shy, and like, being on a stage was my nightmare. Like, whenever I was 3-4 years old, my mom put my sister and I in dancing school, and she had to bribe me to like dance at the recitals. I did not want to do it.
What did she bribe you with?
Polly Pocket, like toys and things. Like, I remember the Polly Pocket, like, specifically. You do? Yeah. But she really, you know, it was like pulling teeth, like making me do something. And Ariel I still remember one of the first performances that I had, and I was so nervous. I still get nervous, but it's like I've learned to manage it. And I went out on stage, and as soon as I saw my fabric and started just dancing towards my fabric, all of that just melted away. And it really became this beautiful outlet for me to like share this amazing thing that I've learned to do that empowers me so deeply and like helps me to share more of who I am. Mm-hmm. And that has absolutely rippled into so many other areas of my life, especially in the coaching industry for sure.
It's so beautiful, and you're such a welcome fresh energy in the coaching space. So I just want to thank you for that. And it really seems like you're in flow with yourself and connected to the outer flows as well, and the connection, you know, the Akashic records. Could you dive a little bit deeper into what that is?
Please. Yeah, absolutely. So the Akashic records are a library in another dimension that hold all past, present, future knowledge and possibilities. And so it's this really cool just way to communicate with our spiritual team and our loved ones, even like past loved ones, even present loved ones. Like if their soul has something to share with us, like that can come through in the records. But each person has their own individual records and record keepers. And it like has all, like I said, all past, present, future knowledge. Sometimes we can receive information on past lives, and just they're always going to give us information that's relevant to us right now. Mm-hmm. And it has been such an incredible healing tool for me and for my clients, because we're just able to clear like subconscious beliefs and fears that are within us based on something that our soul experienced or that our bloodline experienced, or that is literally like in our DNA because we are of the earth. Mm-hmm. And it's seriously, it blows me away every single time.
It sounds really cool. What's something that has shifted for you, like since you expanded your consciousness to, you know, this library, now that you know all of the things, all of the possibilities, or the fact that you know that that exists? Mm-hmm. Just like the fact that you know that it's there, even if you haven't been to the top or whatever, how has that shifted or translated into your 3D experience?
Wow. Let's see. I guess being able to tap into the records, like just on a personal experience, I'm able to receive so much deep healing. Like whenever I'm reading for myself or if someone is reading for me, it's incredible the shifts that I experience in my own life. Like just last night, actually, I've been feeling like I'm on an emotional roller coaster, like to be fully transparent. Yeah. And so last night I was in the bath and I just felt really called to open my own records. And a lot of times whenever I am reading for other people, the first thing I see is their aura. And so I saw mine, it was emerald green. And I just heard like, you have some holes in your aura. And I was like, okay, show me where they are. And they showed me where the holes were. And I had just before this, I had done like some really, a really big release, like emotional release, through this practice called the emotion code. We can dive into that. It seems like, you know, but, so I could kind of feel that, like I was shedding and, you know, just continuing that practice. And light language has been another really powerful aspect of my healing. I actually learned through working with this beautiful coach. Her name's Trinetti. She is an incredible dancer and an amazing singer. I'm so grateful that I had the pleasure of working with her. She really helped me to open up my voice in so many different ways. And she taught me how to work with light language. And a little background of that, just like we all have our own individual records to tap into, we each have our own individual like soul language that we can tap into as well. And the best way that I can explain it is that it's like downloading remembrance codes from the soul into the body. Like that is what feels the most true for me since working with this over the past several years. And so that was literally through visualization and through working with my own light language. I saw like my aura, those holes begin to rebuild and just like, yeah, just like it be renewed and revived. And so that's definitely something that's just rippled out. And I remember the first time that I felt called to share my light language in a client session for an Akashic Records reading. And I was so nervous, but it was with a friend of mine. And so I was like, I'm just going to trust this. Like, you know, let's just do this. And so I started doing my light language. And I remember like opening my eyes and just being like, did it work? And she was fully ears. Like it just had this incredible release. She said it felt like there was this bubble around her that like, you know, she was on this threshold, and with me sharing my light language transmission, it just completely dissolved, and she like felt this energetic release in her body. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like a long answer, but it's very multi-layered.
It sounds, I'm looking at you like with fascination. I'm interested in absolutely every single thing, and I know that the listener will be as well. When it comes to the emotion code, do you want to dive deeper into that specific thing or a little more? Or was that also tied with light language?
It actually isn't. What I've realized is that I'm sure we each come across certain tools in our experience of life and our pursuit of personal development and like remembrance and, you know, coming back to who we are. Like we learn all of these tools. And what I'm really experiencing in my life right now is a lot of these tools are becoming to be more interwoven. And like, I'm seeing how they actually work together. I'm like lit up in chills right now.
I was just going to say, right before this, I was journaling on the fact that astrology is like interwoven into like, oh my God, like art and my DNA. And I'm like, I'm so excited you just said that.
I'm literally like lit up in chills right now.
Sorry, keep going.
No, I love it. I love it. I love the synchronicities and the similarities and all the things. It's incredible. So the emotion code, someone shared the emotion code with me years ago. And essentially, for those of you who have never heard of this before, it was developed by a chiropractor. And it's this method of essentially locating, through muscle testing, locating trapped emotions that are stuck in the body. And his theory is that as we go through life and go through experiences that have maybe a bad feeling emotion that comes along with that, if we're not able to feel that emotion, if we're not ready to feel it and to process it, it gets trapped in the body, and it can get trapped anywhere. And another cool thing is that like these emotions are literally created in specific organs, but that's not necessarily like where they end up getting trapped. So like the lungs are associated with grief. That's the first one that's like off the top of my head, but it's really, really fascinating. And so this practice, by the way, the book is incredible. You can learn this entire process just through the book alone. I can't remember the author, but the emotion code.
I love that so much. I remember sharing with somebody that anger was stuck in the liver because, you know,
yeah.
And yeah. I was with my brother, and he was like, he looked at me like I had like 17 eyes. Like, he's like, you're crazy. Like, and I just think it's so funny because you talk, you know, we talk together. We're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Talk to a person
truth.
In one dimension. You're like, you're crazy. So this is, you know, a podcast about stretching your mind, stretching your awareness. So for everybody listening, just like be open. You know, you're welcome to believe what you want to believe, but this is really about making more doors available, like opening more doors for more people. And then you can choose if you want to go into that door or not. So I love this so much. I'm so excited. We dove deep right away. I wanted to ask you to just bring it back to real life for a second. What was your morning like today? Do you feel like your cup is like full cup, overflowing? Or do you need a little energy? Like, how are you feeling today?
Today, I'm feeling better. Like I said, it's literally been an emotional roller coaster. Wow. I'm like, where do I start? Let's just keep it simple. Today, yeah, it's been like kind of a little back and forth, to be honest, like feeling super empowered and then feeling like a little pulled out of that and like frustrated and all these things are like not going wrong, but like not working like they should. And, you know, it's kind of like that.
And that's also okay. I know I know for a fact so many people are resonating with this. It's just like, what is this roller coaster that I'm experiencing? And also we know, hey, it's gonna pass no matter what, it's gonna pass. So built on this question, I also wanted to ask you, do you have a specific morning ritual or night ritual? And what does that look like if you do?
Yeah, so it does change day by day. It really depends on what I'm feeling, whether that's stretching or just rolling around on the floor and kind of stretching, or breath work, meditation. I'm noticing what seems to be like really helping me the most is some form of movement and meditation right now. It feels like there's like a lot of static energy, like in my like mind and in my just awareness. It feels kind of cluttered, and so I've been really feeling this need to simplify and like pull back, retreat. Like last night I had an amazing bath and did the emotion code work with myself and ended up releasing like 5 or like something around that, different emotions just kept coming up, and that is feeling like the most powerful for me right now, just to go with what I'm feeling and not to feel like I have to do this specific thing every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not about, for a long time, I felt this like resistance to morning routines because I saw it as like people just doing autopilot. And I was like, it has to be about presence. So how can you commit to the thing? You know, you have, it's like a commitment to presence in the morning, whatever brings you there. You know, just seeing yourself.
Journaling has been a really consistent practice for me as well, especially just noticing so many different emotions arise and just like feeling sadness and confusion, and also recognizing that I'm probably not only processing mine, like that is kind of the vibe of the earth right now. Like a lot of people are going through these waves of emotions. And so I think that's really important to remember as well, just as empathic, you know, super feeling beings, sometimes it's not all ours. No. So journaling has incredible practice for me as well. That's probably the one I do most consistently.
So when you journal, you take your thoughts and then you write them down, or do you future create, or both?
Both, for sure. Mm-hmm. I, especially when I'm feeling like a lot of heavy emotions, what has helped me is just to like brain dump, if you will, just like write out exactly how I'm feeling, like what do I want? Like, what am I acting like? Are my emotions reflecting something that I want, but I don't feel like I'm getting, kind of situation? And so it's the other thing that I just feel really called to mention in this moment is that like your emotions are sacred. Your emotions are, it's important to feel them. And that's a huge thing that I have been being with as well, is just this full permission to be like the sadness deserves to be there just as much as the happiness does.
Oh.
And like it is serving us for a purpose. I'm an emotional authority in human design, so that's like another thing you do.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you know, I love you so much. Like, I feel so like this is a really healthy mirror for me to just like listen to you, watch you be. So thank you for being here. I'm so happy.
Thank you.
I'm like listening to you. I'm like, I feel so seen and understood. I was looking back at my posts, and I haven't been posting like the same way as I was in the beginning of the year. And so many of my posts were like, I've been crying, I've been processing, like just talking about, I'm like, oh my God, I've been crying so much this year. mm-hmm. way more, like it's almost like an everyday thing, if not every day. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the most liberating thing. It's the most clear and pure I've ever felt. I'm like, yeah, bring it on, man. You know? So I love that you said that so much. Okay, so there's one question that I wanted to ask. You teach people about self-expression, about expressing their truth, their voice, about undressing the self. What are the common blocks that prevent people from really speaking their truth, being in their truth, knowing their voice, expressing themselves? What prevents us from doing that?
Yeah, the first thing that really comes to mind is if we don't have a regular forgiveness practice or haven't really, if we haven't really dove into that before, that is usually what, there's a lot in the way. So essentially, as we're going through life and experiencing certain situations, we make those situations mean something about ourselves, whether that's like, I'm unlovable, or I'm not worthy, or what I have to say doesn't matter. You know, we latch on to these meanings that we create from situations that we experience. And if we don't go back and heal those and address those beliefs that we've created are literally acting as filters over who we are. And so if, like, I'm speaking from experience here too. Like, I literally, there's so many times where I would stop myself, where I had a thought or had something to say, and I was initially met with excitement, like, oh, I'm about to say this. And then I would retreat. I would pull back and say, oh, it's fine. It doesn't matter. What I have to say doesn't matter. And I really got to begin to heal those layers, undress the self, right? Like undress, delayer these memories, these experiences that we have caused our like perception of who we are to be formulated around.
Mm-hmm. It makes total sense. So what you're saying is if I'm hearing correctly, you're saying like forgiving yourself, forgiving maybe others as well. I forgive For you. Sure. And so that way we can kind of let it go. Like we're like, I see it, just choosing to let it go. So for somebody who's never done that before, like, what does that look like? Like more specifically, like I know for me what it looks like, but maybe it looks different for you. Do you work like that with clients, and how do you get them to start on that?
Absolutely. I love making the process like really approachable. And one of the most simplest forgiveness practices that we can really start with is just by writing a forgiveness letter to ourselves. Like we have to forgive ourselves first before we can start to forgive others. Like it's so important. Mm-hmm. And this practice, like literally just writing at the top of the paper, like, dear Addie or dear Sasha, whoever you are, I forgive you for this, and just like write and write and write until you can't think of anything else, and hold a burning ceremony, like burn that paper and declare that as it is dissolving, as that this paper is literally going up into smoke and ash, it is being removed from your entire being. And also holding the intention that as you're releasing, as you're shedding these big layers and creating this forgiveness in your life, that space is just being filled with more of who you truly are, more of your light, more of your brilliance and what you're here to share. Mm-hmm. So that's just a nice, like very approachable way. Cause if you've never done that, it's scary. You want to resist it. You don't want to do it. Right. Cause like what's going to come up, but everything that comes up is exactly what we're ready for. It's exactly what we're ready to look at, ready to release. And when those bigger situations come up that we get to forgive, whether that involved ourselves or also involved other people, like one, we have to be ready to forgive. We have to be ready to let that go. And it's also important to like really hold that younger version of ourselves and to see the experience with new eyes, like seeing what we made that situation mean. And then like telling that younger version of ourselves, knowing what we know now, what actually happened. Like, I'm so sorry that you made this situation mean that you weren't worthy of love. Like, that's not at all what happened, mm-hmm. you know? So like There are so many different ways in which we can start this forgiveness work, but I feel like just writing a letter is one of the simplest ways to really dive in.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. And I also agree with you with the fact like people are a little bit scared at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And to be completely transparent with you, I don't understand the fear, because once you do it once, it's just like, oh, this is the best place to be.
Yeah. It's so clearing. Like, you feel like a new person.
Like, the love is so real. I did a meditation specifically like 2 days ago, and I was sobbing ridiculously. My diaphragm was like pumping. My jaw was shaking. I was like, yes, yes. Because I was like, so much releasing, you know? And it doesn't end. Like, it's like, I can do.
Yep.
Always some shedding to do, and there's so much freedom on the other side. So that's the thing. So everybody who's like listening, don't be scared. It's like the most epic feeling. Just do it. You'll see.
It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So worth it.
I was listening. You know, you do a lot of creative. So. I have this my understanding of like money and abundance and creativity. I'm always kind of playing with the consciousness of that, and I find that a lot of the time when we begin to work with new clients, one of the biggest blocks is money and abundance, and I find that that goes so well with creativity and expression. Can you maybe talk about the relationship between a person's self-expression and a person's relationship to money or abundance?
Yeah, I love that you're bringing this up. It's definitely something that I began to notice pretty quickly in my own life. I really started my personal development journey, like conscious personal development journey, probably like 8 or 9 years ago. I moved to Colorado 7 years ago. And when I moved to Colorado, I started doing like personal development courses and like seminars. And that's when I started to see for the first time in my life how much I was filing my past into my future and how much I was holding my voice back and not sharing. Like, because before it was just how it was, right? I didn't know that I was doing it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, I just like held back. And then it like festers and you feel like this buildup, and it creates this like resentment and like upset, and like, you know, you get mad at yourself for not doing the thing. And what I really started to notice is, okay, so another quick little background. My entire life, I've loved to sing, but I would never share my voice with anyone ever, ever, ever. It was like, fuck that, no way, ever. And whenever I moved to Colorado, so it was about 7 years ago, and I was at this little blues festival, and I found myself harmonizing with the band for the first time in my life. And what I realized is, for the first time in my life, my voice actually sounded good to me. And since then, it had been this journey of like sharing my song, like sharing my blessings, and just the different ways that my voice would want to be expressed. And whenever I denied myself and my voice that expression, I did notice a direct correlation with, you know, with abundance flowing or not flowing into my life. It's like, I love how you spoke to just the creativity piece. You know, who we are, that natural creative expression that we all have, it is here to be shared. And when we decide that it's not worthy of being shared, it's like you're putting a kink in the pipe. And it's the same exact thing. Like, you know, how you show up for one thing is how you show up for everything. I'm sure we've all heard that before. But it really is so true. It's like looking at the mirrors in our life, like they are not separate. It really is this beautiful web that we get to co-create with and play with. So I've 100% have noticed that in my own life. Like when I'm holding back and when I'm not sharing, it's like money feels hard. It really does. We creativity feels hard, and I don't feel connected to myself or to my desires and to sharing those, and like knowing I get to have them. Like it's a really wild, wild thing, noticing the mirrors in our lives.
It's like we don't feel safe in a way. Like, I don't want to speak for everybody, but for me, it's definitely a safety thing where,
yeah,
like in the past, I even remember like maybe 3 years ago, I used to maybe like look at people who posted on Facebook or Instagram, and I was like, they just want attention. Mm. But like, it's not that all of the time. There's a lot of pure intentionality as well, which is just, I want to share my energy. I want to connect. There's like, and that purity of intention and that purity of it, of connection, of whatever is happening, the transmutation of energy and whatever. That to me, whenever we put a, oh no, I'm not allowed, I'm putting rules on myself. When we put rules on ourselves and we're like, I'm only allowed to do what's in this box, I find that we limit ourselves unbelievably. It's easy for me to say that now, but back then I had no clue what that meant, you know? So how does one go about creating more safety? Whether it's, I feel safe to sing, I feel safe to make an offer of my creative gifts to the world. How do we cultivate more safety?
Yeah, I love that question. I, in my personal experience and experience with my clients, like safety is created within first. And like, who are you when you're by yourself? Like how much of yourself do you really allow yourself to see? Mm-hmm. Like there's such this beautiful gift of allowing ourselves to be witnessed by ourselves. And that really does begin to cultivate safety, like giving ourselves full permission to be, to cry in front of a mirror and just like naked and like, this is who I am and this is what I'm feeling. And like, you know, whether it's hard to accept parts of who you are or whatever, it's like that is, for, in my opinion, like what really begins to create safety. Another piece is whenever I was really starting to first share my voice, I felt really, really comfortable sharing with sisters. Like that was magic for me. Like I felt so seen and received. Like there wasn't any fear if like they wouldn't like it, then what? You know, it was like, I knew that I would be received in this really beautiful way. And so it's turning to those people who, you know, just really love and see you. And we begin to build on that. We begin to build on that safety and show ourselves that we can. And it does trickle out into sharing an offer. Like that is a beautiful form of expression too. And it takes a lot of resilience and like trust to do something like that. So
yeah, a lot of trust, a lot of safety. I love what you said also about, you know, being received, knowing that you will be received. So that's also like another level and another tangent that we could go on right now is the fact that as we are healing ourselves, it's almost like our frequency changes. And I find that there's like a change also of the people around us, or maybe like, yeah, an evolution, I would say, for sure. Even in them, they might be even, it might be a catalyst to them to see you, conscious or subconscious. But what about for you, like at the beginning of your journey, did you always have those people that you knew had the consciousness to receive you? Or was there ever a time that you just didn't really have those sisters, that tribe, the people that you knew would receive you?
You know, where I really started, so my beloved, we've been together, we'll make 8 years in March, and he has been with me the entirety of like me really stepping into who I am as a divine expressive woman. And the first time that I actually shared my voice and shared a song that I created from my heart, like I was so scared, but it was for him. and I cried the entire time, but he was so supportive. Literally cried the entire time. Like, I'm sure it sounded terrible, like, but he was so encouraging and just really held that space for me to complete the song, even though he knew it was like the most difficult thing I had ever done in my life up until that point. But I feel like I have truly been very blessed with just, you know, moving to Colorado, especially of just having people in my life that really are so welcoming and so willing to see each other and to like genuinely connect and create intimacy. And I'm extremely, extremely grateful for that. I truly am.
That's amazing. I agree with you so much. And by the way, for anybody who doesn't know, like, check out Addie's Instagram and Facebook if you want to see the most beautiful love. And I'm sure there's so much more that we don't see through photos, because sometimes special moments can't be captured. But just from what I've seen, it's just always makes me cry. I get emotive. I feel emotions when I see your love being shared. So I love it. Please share more. It's so good. Personally, for me, I found that, well, right now, intimacy and connections is like my number one thing. This is why I want to do these things on video, because I want people to feel the emotions and what's happening between us two. And I really want people to not feel alone. And that's why I want to talk about topics that my parents didn't talk about, that nobody in my family spoke about. I want to talk about the weird shit, you know, the emotion. I want people to feel like they're allowed to feel, and that nothing about them is weird or bad, or like they need to be like ostracized for something. I've felt that rejection so much in my life. And when I finally hit my rock bottom and I like started my healing process, when I took off the armor, that's the first time that I started to meet up with sisters, with souls. Mm-hmm. I had to really take off the armor of protection, which was scary, but I didn't know any other way. And then it's such an oxymoron. It's such a paradox that the moment you take it off, you really think that that's the most vulnerable moment. That's when you're caught into the net of, we love you.
Yeah, I love that you're speaking to this, because it really comes back to those filters, you know, like that armor is a filter, and we don't realize how much that is inhibiting us from our ability to connect and to be intimate and to share ourselves vulnerably and like to be fucking real with people. Mm. It's so crucially important.
It's changing everything in my life to be like this. I wanted to know, because it sounds like Colorado has been like amazing, and I'm like, do I need to move there? How do I move there's great people where I live, but has there been a time that you felt that, you know, you're doing all this personal development, spiritual development, you have a beloved that you feel safe with, you have friends that are amazing and they receive you, but have you ever been met, whether you went somewhere or you talked to someone and the consciousness level was just not there? And if so, is there been a moment that you felt judgment or like you needed to constrict? And how did you process that? How did you deal with that? Did you address it with them, or did you just deal with it on your own?
Wow. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I feel like if I'm ever in that kind of situation, it's not really something that my instinct is to address it with them in that moment. I definitely acknowledge that, like, I am so blessed here. Like, I feel the level of consciousness in the community that I have here. It's like the older I get, the more incredible of a family, like a friend family, mm-hmm. I'm creating and finding and cultivating. And it hasn't always been that way. Like, I grew up in New Orleans, and like, party culture is so interwoven into way of life. And not saying that, like, I don't have fun. Like, I definitely like to become elevated in the amazing ways, but in a way that's, like, still connected to consciousness and, like, expansive. Mm-hmm. But I do experience that whenever I travel outside of Colorado. I definitely do experience that level of, like, yeah, the consciousness level isn't quite there. But I feel like I just try to do my best to still lovingly accept them wherever they are and, you know, throw those little nuggets into their awareness that can help them start to open up. I was told by a shaman years ago that she was like, you know your purpose, right? And I was like, I don't know, what's my purpose? And she was like, your purpose is to awaken the spark of divinity in others, and you do that by who you are and how you show up and, like, what you choose to share with people. And I was just like, oh wait, I can kind of see that. I can see how I've been showing up, like, you know, in my restaurant job at the time, and, like, how I touch the lives of those around me and, like, help people to live more intentional lives, and how, like, oh sweet, I just saw you yesterday, like, I'm seeing you for the first time today, let me give you a hug, like, you know what I mean, just such, like, love. And I feel like when we come from that intention of love and just wanting to share love, wanting other people to feel loved and seen, like, that is such incredible medicine and such a beautiful catalyst for to trigger their healing and awareness and consciousness.
Wow. So you actually just, like, brought up something. I don't know if everybody heard it, but I'm going to repeat. So you're saying that if you're met with judgment or with other people's projections, instead of retreating and putting those walls back up, you make yourself even, like, wider open, and you hold them in your aura. Like, hey, you're welcome in here. I'm the love bucket. Like, even if you want to put me out, I'm bigger. I'm going to hold you in here. I love that so much. It's like killing people with kindness. It's like that thing of, I'm just going to love you. I'm just going to love you. I definitely felt a transition for me as well. Like, when I was going back into my old ways of being triggered, and my walls would go back up. Mm-hmm. And then there's been a shift, I think, a year and a half, where I was like, mm-hmm. No, I'm just going to stay open because I can handle your arrows. Oh my God. What a shift in consciousness. Like, go ahead, throw the darts. I get it. It's okay. I love you. I love you. And then they go.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, it's not personal. Like, if our truest self-expression is triggering someone else and they're choosing to, like, throw their arrows or whatever it is, their jabs, it's really not personal. Like, when we are showing up in our fullest expression and truth, and other people respond in a judgmental or hurtful way, we are just triggering their own healing. Like, that's right. It. Like, it is not actually personal. And of course, like, that's a tough thing to, like, a tough practice to come back to, you know. It's like, we all want to be loved. We all want to be liked. We don't want to be judged or made fun of. And, but it really is this just coming back to the knowing that, like, we're just triggering their own healing and it's not personal.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that that's, there's an incredible responsibility with that. Like, it's almost like I'll take care of my emotional state. Like, no matter what emotional state you're in, no matter what's happening in the outside world, I can take responsibility for my inner world and all that. There's a quote, I just drew a card before this. Maybe I'll read it to you because it feels like the right thing to do. It's my shaman book.
Yeah, those cards are so beautiful. I've worked with them before.
They're so good. I stopped for a while, but I was called to work again with them just today. And then it says, in wisdom, you understand that power is not given lightly, but awarded to those who are willing to carry responsibility in a balanced manner. So while we're, like, receiving that, you know, it's like, we're receiving power. We have power because we're like, yeah, like, I'm going to hold it. I'm going to stay whole no matter what. I'm going to shine no matter what. I love it so much. This is such a like fun conversation for me.
I love it. I love it. I'm glad we're finally doing this.
Yes, me too. Oh my gosh, so much. Just to finish, lastly, last question that I want to ask you. I feel like there's like so many more I want to ask, but there's one thing that you said that I absolutely love. And you said, challenge isn't an excuse to quit. It's an excuse to rise. And this goes kind of like close on that, but it's more like, I find that a lot of times people are like, well, I'm going to stay in my safe job that I hate because it's going to be way too hard after that to just figure out what I really want to do. How do I even start that? So yeah. Can you speak to, I don't know if you've ever, you spoke about your serving job, but like one of the things that I work with people the most is really like finding, like living their purpose, not just finding out what it is, but like putting it into the 3D. So can you speak about why it's such a fun thing when challenges come and why we can almost seek them so we can rise?
Yeah, absolutely. And I am, maybe you've heard, and all of you who are listening have heard this before, that like, you know, when we declare what it is that we want, the universe is, it wants to give us what we want. But often it comes with the challenges that help us to really rise into the person who is at that frequency of receiving the thing that we want. And it's not always easy. It has been such a practice of mine to come back to that remembering, like when things feel really, really fucking hard, and just coming back to this, like, okay, this is happening for me. Everything is working out more perfectly than I could ever imagine it to be. Help me to see the gift. Help me to see how this is helping, how this is helping me, how this is serving me. Like, what is the gift here? It really is just such a practice of coming back to that awareness, because it's so easy for us to play the victim and to play this like, oh, well, this is happening to me. Like, what the hell, universe? Like, this is your fault. Like, what did I do? Right? Like, we play the victim. And so it's such like queen energy, like such a form of empowerment to step back into this, like, wait, this is serving me in some way. What is it? Like, maybe I can't see it right now, but help me to like really rise through this experience.
So choose the lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, like my self-care practices, like I can be feeling like I'm in such an emotional whirlwind. I feel like there's challenge after challenge and I don't see the gift. It's like when I allow myself the space to just like be in the bath or, you know, whatever form of medicine I am going to seek clarity, to create clarity within myself, that's when I receive the gift of the challenge. So creating space, creating that space for us to come to that realization, you know, that remembrance that like, this is happening for us.
Yeah, that's such a good nugget. And it's so beautiful to hear it in your words. And I find that it's probably my favorite thing about having a podcast where I can speak, but it sounds the same way. But when somebody else uses their words and the way they explain it, I'm like, oh, maybe it's going to land even better.
Yeah, it lands differently. Like we're all coming from our own experience and our own wellspring of knowledge and wisdom.
Wow, I love it so much. Oh my gosh, Addy, you're so fun. And sometimes I'm like, I want to bring the archetypes into play. I'm like, damn, I really see commonalities just in you and in me. And I'm like, maybe it has to do with the cusp of revolution. You know what, our birthday is on the cusp of revolution. And I was like reading about that. I was like, man, like, yes, like the snake energy and all of them. Like, this is it. Like, the pants.
Yeah, we both have snake pants and sometimes we don't even know, but we're wearing them on the same day.
I think it happened twice and I was like, whoa, this is wild. And then today, yeah, anyways, I did not plan to wear them. It's just kind of happened. But I love it so much, Addy. I wrote like so many other questions, but I always end up flowing with where the energy is going. But if people are so interested, and by the way, like, you guys have to check Addie out. Like, she's a magician in the air. It's
thank you.
But for people who don't know your Instagram, what can you just give them where they can find you on IG or maybe on Facebook as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So my Instagram handle right now is Addie Moonflower, A-D-D-I-E Moonflower. And Facebook, it's Addie Petrie. And Petrie is spelled P-I-T-R-E. A lot of people are like, oh, what? Petrie, like the Lamb Before Time.
I was going to say that.
Yes, that is how it's, you know, pronounced. Oh. I loved Petrie, but.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, there it's a great movie.
Yeah, I so funny because I watched it in French, and for me the name is Petri, so Petri, yep. And he was so cute. Oh my gosh! Okay, I have three final questions that I ask everybody, okay. And they're quick, but maybe not. If you feel like they're long, they can be long. What are your three books that you still to this day are like? Those books are solid. Like if you love someone and you want to like give them advice like on life, like what three books would you recommend?
Okay. One that comes up immediately is The Alchemist. The Alchemist is such a good book for people who are just kind of starting to begin their healing journey or who are looking to like expand their consciousness. The Path of the Yoga Sutras was like a catalyst. For me. Sorry, I don't remember the authors of these.
I know. Paulo Coelho, and then I'll look out the other one.
Yeah. The Path of the Yoga Sutra is just like that. It helped me to just learn so much about like how to live a moral life and like what, yeah, just like that to kind of begin to see that natural web that we are creating with all the time. And then let's see the third book. Ooh, okay. I'm just going with whatever comes straight up out of my mind. Awakening Shakti. That was the third one. It is about exploring the goddesses of yoga. And I first got this book like in 2015, I think. And it has been such a powerful catalyst for me. It's about like tapping into and connecting with the goddesses within ourselves because they are not separate. And it's so, so powerful.
I love that. I love that for the three books that you named, you mentioned the word catalyst. It was a catalyst.
Yeah,
and I find that you are a catalyst for a lot of people. Like that might be like your energy, like the shaman said, you know, you're so bright and vibrant, and it's like you can't deny it. It's like the sun, you know. And then the last two questions. Okay, second to last one. What are you most grateful for to yourself on this journey that you've been on?
What am I most grateful for myself for? Following my intuition, like without any knowing of what's going to happen, like I have been riding the wings of my intuition, like even before I knew what that was. Mm. And really started, I mean, I can look back through like my teens and going to college and so on and so forth of how I was just like, this feels good. I'm going to do this. And it's like it's made me who I am. Like, yeah, the willingness to trust my intuition.
I respect that so much. I see that for sure in you, and I really respect it. It's a sign of courage, like a really like I got my facts. Yeah. I love that so much. And then the very last question is. What are you most excited about creating in life? What energy do you want to infuse the world with, rather?
Self-love. I just want everyone to fucking love who they are. Like, I want every single person. I remember... So over the summer, I had a beautiful mushroom ceremony, and I just remember, like, I am the most beautiful garden I have ever seen. Like the internal landscape, right? And like, what if every single being felt that way about themselves? Like that truly lights me up. Like the healing that comes along with full self-acceptance and love for who you are. Whew, it's getting me.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I have the most beautiful garden. Oh my gosh. That sounds like a great mushroom ceremony. Was that on your beloved's birthday?
It was.
Why do I know that?
Why do you know that?
I just got like a hint. I don't even know when his birthday is.
April 7th.
I have no idea. That's weird. What did I, how? I know. I have no idea why I know this. Okay.
Yeah, weird. I love that. I love that.
I've been like saying things to people and I'm like, I'm becoming like, okay, mm-hmm. I might be intuitive. Like I might be, I don't know. Like, but for sure we all are, but like, this is a new thing that is like really obvious to me. Especially in readings and astrology, I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from? Yeah. But it's cool. I'm taking it. I'll take it all. But love it so much. Okay. Because you mentioned mushrooms, I'm like, I just want people to know, like, because I'm sometimes met with people that are like, oh, you just want to fucking party. Like, and it's like, it can be that, but it's mm-hmm. like, it can also be like a deep,
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, like that. Oh my god, I had so much fun on the dance floor. Like literally feeling like I was the one causing the floor to move.
Yes,
that was so funny. But very recently, I've had not very recently, maybe in March, I had a ceremony with my beloved, and we decided to watch Pocahontas for some reason, and I was bawling my eyes out. Like I couldn't, and I saw my whole life as though I had never lived. So like my parents were there, everybody, my brother was there, everybody else in the world was there, but I saw them interact without me being part of the world. And that when I told my husband, I was like, I saw the world without me in it. That's why I'm crying. He's like, that's a bit of an egoistic thing for you to say, you know, which was a really funny thing. Cause I was like, no, I feel like I'm a valuable piece. Like I want to be here. I don't want to not be here. I want to be here. I have something to give. And it was like like that internal garden realization as well. Like, I don't want to die. I want to be here. I have something to contribute. So, mushrooms are not just a party thing. They're wise.
Absolutely not. And so now, just a few years ago, mushrooms in Colorado were decriminalized. And so it is legal to have them, to like personally partake. It's just not legal to distribute them, but you can also grow them here. And it is like, honestly, mushrooms have been my most potent medicine. Like I've always said, they showed me who I am before I knew who I was. Like they really did open that up for me. And a friend of mine who was studying psychology at LSU whenever I was in college, she said that there are studies that show that mushrooms make you a more compassionate person. It's like tapping into that web of knowledge, of consciousness. And, you know, they want to show us things. They want to show us what's hidden under the surface. They want to bring us back to love and to joy and to silliness,
mischievousness. And oh my God, I feel like I really want to do mushrooms with you.
Yeah, we would have so much fun.
Oh yes. It brings out the most playful version of me, like the most like version of me, and dancing, and it's so unity. And now that you said that, like I was gonna end the interview, but when you just said like it revealed to you who you were before you even knew, and I just realized when I took them for the first time, everything changed after that. Like that's when I became me. Like I started to be like, huh,
wait a minute.
I'm in school right now. I'm in university studying something I don't want to study just because I think I have to. Mm-hmm. Like I started to think, what else is out there?
Yeah.
I also took too much the first time, but that's another story. It was great. It's like, it took a few months to integrate though, to like, be like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then I decided to travel to South Africa and be like completely different lifestyle, but
yeah,
so liberating.
Catalysts. They're catalysts too.
I'm going to call this the catalyst episode.
I love it.
Well, anyways, thank you so much, Addy. This was really fun. And honestly, like, I hope everybody could feel your energy because I feel it. Your love, your light, your playful, your joy. And I know you've been feeling these like roller coasters of emotions, but to me, it's all joy. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for having me and for seeing me and loving and accepting me and inviting me to be on your podcast. I'm so honored. And I truly just, I so look up to you and love and respect you as a sister. I know we're going to be friends forever. And I'm really excited for the day when we actually get to hang out in person.
So. Me too. It's going to be so amazing. And thank you. And I admire you so much. Like, I see you. You see me for like this, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.